This is the Heartland Daily Podcast.
The other day, the Heartland Institute's Donald Kendall, Deputy Director of our Socialism Research Center, was a guest on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560 in Chicago. Donnie's a regular guest on that fantastic program, and he talked with Sean about George Soros' purchase of a slew of conservative radio stations across America. Is Soros buying these stations because he wants to suppress any speech that counters the leftist agenda and the public narrative? Have a listen to find out.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Boy, that Goebbels! New propaganda. Didn't he, squirrel? Third Reich Nazi? George Soros worked for the Nazis. Probably explains Odyssey. We're going to discuss exactly how we can stop socialism with the host of In the Tank podcast and Stopping Socialism TV, Donald Kendall from the Heartland Institute. Donald, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing today, good sir?
Oh, I love it. I love exposing these rat corrupt bastards and the smarmy ones with the feminine sons for a family like George Soros when they bought Odyssey, 220 stations, radio stations around the country. I think there's seven in Chicago, WBBM and a couple of stupid ones.
Yes, yes, right. Picking them up on the cheap, too. It seems like this is actually kind of part of a larger plan of George Soros to, you know, I'm sure that the way that he would put it is just like diversifying his assets. Surely there's no political implications of all of these moves, but he's picking up all these different media-related outfits all over the place over the past several years, and this is the latest one and might be his biggest gambit yet.
Well, how does the Quantum Fund, which is what his entity is, that's been used to implode such currencies as the British pound and some other nations around the world. How does the Quantum Fund buy an American radio oligarch like Odyssey without being scrutinized? I mean, after all, the Quantum Fund isn't an American company. It's never had any SEC regulation. We don't really know where the money comes from other than George Soros and his son with the painted fingernails and toenails, proving that Uma Thurman is in fact, Uma Aberdeen is in fact a lesbian.
right. Yeah. Well, George Soros has got a whole web of different organizations, from, you know, nonprofit ones like the Open Society Institute to his Soros Fund Management, and which is an investment company. So he's got a whole bunch of different operations. So surely there's all sorts of different slush fund activity. But because he has such ties into the media, I was looking at one report from the Media Research Institute where they were talking about how he has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to all sorts of different organizations, 253 separate organizations that all have a role in influencing the media in one way or another. This, you know, the whole different web of groups, including the Committee to Protect Journalists, all sorts of them. But they all have ties to these different people, whether it's Lester Holt with NBC Nightly News or different people from CNN,
very own
CBS, Face the Nation, Washington Post, NPR, PolitiFact, Associated Press, Reuters. So he's got this whole web of different people that are indirectly or even sometimes directly being paid by certain outfits aligned with George Soros. So it almost creates a little bit of a shield for him where it's like, you know what, maybe he's doing something, maybe he's not. We're not even going to look into it because, you know, there's some money coming trickling down into our pockets from all of this.
That's interesting when you really think about what's been happening, especially when it comes to mergers and acquisitions lately, because that seems like a lot when you have print media, you have investments in TV stations and people, like you were just saying, and now you have investments in talk radio and other venues. I mean, that would be something that you'd think the SEC would be like, wait a minute, this seems to be a conglomerate that almost seems like a monopoly. and they're taking on very strategic targets. But, because it's obviously redundant. I mean, why would you go after talk radio stations? Or I think he has sports in there, which makes sense because sports stations suck. But it seems like the SEC would be involved in this. But then again, maybe I'm just passé, and maybe I'm just too suspicious of a government that would, bend over for George Soros.
Could you imagine? I mean, just think about the stink that was raised when Elon Musk purchased Twitter, now called X. Like, if Elon Musk were to try to pull off the same thing and buy the controlling shares of the second largest radio company out there that controls all of these different stations, surely there would be all sorts of criticism and making sure that he checked every single box that was possibly necessary, because of course they would be looking into him. But because George Soros kind of plays the left-wing game and he's involved in every single thing from Media Matters to Planned Parenthood to all these different DA races across the country, that he's just given a free pass with all of this.
I mean, Donald, it is outrageous what's going on. It truly is outrageous. And none of it could happen without the blessing of a corrupt government. And, it's funny that this happens because one of my producers, the lovely Squirrel Hands, just told me that the FCC sent a questionnaire to our station to find out, how many transvestites we have here and whatnot. So I said that I was transgendering. I want them to fill me out as transgendering. My real birth name was Sheila, and I just want to show one of these fascist pigs my tallywhacker to see if they believe I'm really a man. But what do you think is the move? Could any of this happen without the government cooperation to the Nazi collaborator known as George Soros?
Oh, man, I would be just absolutely shocked if I heard even a whiff of them doing some regulatory checkup on the validity of a move like this. I would be absolutely floored if there was any level of validating these types of moves. But the other thing that we have to make sure to talk about is that, well, there's a couple of things. One is, we know that talk radio is historically a very conservative medium when it comes to news dissemination. So him kind of getting involved in this just kind of seems out of the ordinary. And all of the stations, 220 stations nationwide, big markets, New York City, Chicago, L.A., they're host to a lot of very notable leading conservative voices out there. So that seems to pretty conflict,
We don't have any competition. We're the only one in Chicagoland. I mean, really, if you take a look around the dial, they're all collaborators with the Democrat Marxist mafia, as I see it. But it's interesting to see what their plan of attack is. I mean, after all, nobody listens to them. Their stations suck. So what exactly is his reasoning for purchasing this? Because the reason he was able to buy it is because they go bankrupt, right?
Mm. Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's, it's almost like whatever effectiveness these radio stations do have, I'm sure that there are going to be actions taking place under new management that reduces the amount of effectiveness of these new stations. Maybe that includes putting in more moderate voices, or, we have to, maybe we have to balance the messaging that are on these stations or anything like that. Obviously, this is just speculation, but I wouldn't put it past them. But the other thing that we also have to keep in mind is that there is a lot of these radio stations, very notable ones, that are inside these areas that are going to be in very important swing states in the upcoming election. We're talking about certain stations in Las Vegas. We're talking about certain stations in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So, if all of those are now, which were used to be bastions of conservative thought, are all going to be switching over to some George Soros branded media or something like that right before the election, that seems like it could be pretty important.
So I know this is pretty fresh, right? I mean, the news came out about Squirrel gave it to me about 11 days ago or so. Is it a done deal? Does anything have to happen here? Because I say this to you because a lot of companies have gone from public to private. It's more advantageous to go private when you have a totalitarian, corrupt government like the one Joe Biden represents. So a lot of companies have already gone private. So is this deal done? Did the SEC and the FCC and all of the fascist government entities sign off on this?
So this is also something that came across my desk a week or so ago. And since then, I've been looking it up every couple of days to see, because I just have this little bit of hope that maybe, you know, we're fretting about nothing and it's all going to fall apart. And, you know, maybe the initial reporting was a little bit more overblown than it was. But so far, I haven't seen anything like that. So far, it seems like it's just a matter of, you know, the proper boxes being checked. And once they officially go into bankruptcy and all of that, it's just going to immediately transfer over. That's what it looks like to me. But, you know, I don't think it's a done deal quite yet, but, you know, yeah. I'm not necessarily holding my breath that it's going to
fall. I'll tell you what, Donald, I learned this a long time ago. Hope is for guys that bet on horses. It doesn't really put commas in the bank account. So I hope that, and ironically, the double entendre is intended. I hope that we know sooner rather than later, because the reality is a lot of mischief can go down in the next 8 months. And when you see that the information flow of the absolute fact that Joe Biden is a traitor, we've got $40,000 that we know has been confirmed by his brother that he stroked the check from the Chinese Communist Energy Company. I mean, this is very important that this information be controlled, because you have to keep the morons out there thinking they're still a Democrat versus a bad, evil Trump and a good Republican Party, right? So they need to promote this lie that Joe Biden represents.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you know, and the idea of, you know, somebody listening to this and hearing my speculation about them maybe changing the kind of the makeup of these stations in the lead up to the election. I even said that, you know, it's speculation on my part, but they might write that off as just like, oh, that kind of seems conspiratorial. But if you look into George Soros, and I know that it's kind of hard because they don't talk about him in the media, but if you actually look into him and kind of see his practices when it comes to any one of these things, whether it's media control with Media Matters and all this different stuff, or these DA races that he's been somewhat popular, you know, trying to get these radical DAs in all of these major cities across the United States, like he is very underhanded. Yeah, exactly. He is very underhanded. He specifically funds these very radical people in the primaries when the race is a lot cheaper, knowing that if they get that radical into the general election, there's no way that a Democrat is going to lose to a Republican in Chicago. So he's buying these things for pennies on the dollar. It's very underhanded. Well, so to think that he's not going to do that in radio is just naive.
Before we get to the rest of this podcast, I wanted to let you know about two fantastic live podcasts Heartland produces every week. We'd love for you to join us every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, live for our flagship In the Tank podcast. You can watch on the Stopping Socialism TV channel on YouTube, where you can participate in the show in the chat with other fans and also ask questions that we'll address on the air and put up on the screen. And every Friday, also at 1 p.m. Eastern and noon Central time, you can go to Heartland's main YouTube channel. Just search for the Heartland Institute on YouTube for the new Climate Realism Show. Heartland's climate team of Anthony Watts, Sterling Burnett, and Linnea Lucan cover the crazy climate news of the week, debunk mainstream media myths about the so-called climate crisis, dig into energy policy, and much more. The show often features guests that include some of the leading climate scientists and energy policy experts anywhere in the world. There is no show like it. So become regular live viewers of both of these programs if you are interested in smart, lively, fun, and interactive conversations. We hope to see you there every Thursday and Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern and noon Central at the Stopping Socialism TV and the Heartland Institute channels on YouTube. Oh yeah, we're also on Rumble. See you there.
I'd like to know exactly what the process was for him purchasing a distressed company like Odyssey. I mean, first of all, was it exposed? Is Odyssey publicly traded? What happened to the stock? Is it a hostile takeover? What happens to the people who own stock in it? I'm curious to know on the details, because this once again smells like an inside trader, an inside deal, right? I mean, he's able to just buy the bankruptcy. Was it a bidding process? Who was next in line? Was there somebody? You know, this is what Democrats do. They lie and they cheat and they steal. So it's crucially important to understand he's been interwoven with the Democrat mafia since the 80s. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and he imploded the British pound. It was a scandal at the time. And the only way that he got away from it is the same way Bill Gates rebuilt his reputation, through a PR firm. He hired a PR firm. He went out there. He did a lot of interviews, some of which are coming back to bite him, where he admits to collaborating with the Nazis against his fellow Jew. And it's really something that people should be aware of. But now that he controls the media, I guess it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, and you know, to answer your question, it seems like he has a knack for this sort of thing, this kind of buying for pennies on the dollar when it comes to media outlets. I have one example sitting in front of me of George Soros-backed group buying up Vice Media for $350 million after it went bankrupt.
I love that story.
The media outlet that was valued once at $6 billion.
Love
so that is
that
a huge discount that he got that one for.
Well, Vice Media is a very interesting... I had it on the board yesterday. Honey Bunny's probably throwing stuff at me right now. I had it on the board yesterday. It's a really interesting story because that guy was going to be the... He was going to take over Fox, right? It was a... I believe he's out of Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Correct? Vice News? Mm. And
I think that's where it originated, yeah.
He was a collaborator with the American and Canadian communists, and he always wrote the stories with kind of a slant. And it was funny because he pretended in the beginning that he was actually going to be unbiased, just give you the fact and give you the news. And for a while he did it in his magazine, but when he got the television going, he really went hardcore Marxist sympathizer, and that just imploded right before your eyes. So you're telling me George Soros bought this as well?
Yep, absolutely. He bought that, like I said, the Odyssey thing, a bunch of other examples here. He in just a couple of years ago, he bought the Latino Media Network, which was composed of 18 different Spanish language speaking stations across, I think a lot of them were in Florida. But, so he's just buying up these things just hand over fist.
He's not going to fire the weather girls, is he? Because if he fires the weather girls, I mean, that's the greatest weather report in all of the world is the Latin weather station. Are you out of your mind? I'd much rather see that than Tom Skilling. Right. So it's interesting when you think about what are the options you have out there? I mean, how much longer until he just... does he have to buy anything else? Hasn't the media successfully propagandized the dimwit in diapers as you see him staggering around? I mean, he's clearly convalescing. Is it even necessary, or is it nothing to be worried about because it's so redundant?
Yeah, you know, I feel like this has less to do with kind of magnifying the voice of just kind of the left in general and more about nullifying the voice of the right in the couple of key areas that we still are able to get, you know, conservative messages out in. So I think that has more to do with that. Yeah. But again, like, and this is kind of a thematic of a lot of the segments I come on your show to talk about, is just these, like, the machinations of all of these kind of global elitist types, from the Klaus Schwabs over at Davos and the World Economic Forum to George Soros and the Open Society, is that they often are doing these big, grandiose sorts of things just so far under the radar that they're not talked about on the, you know, nightly news or anything like that, the front page of, you know, Fox or something along those lines. And that is why, you know, I come on your show to talk about these things, because I think they deserve a lot of attention, and I'm glad that you have me on to talk about it.
I think we have to really adopt what I've been calling them for over a decade, the Fourth Reich. You know, it's I don't think it's a coincidence that Klaus Schwab is the son of the flamethrower manufacturer for the Third Reich. He's his son. George Soros, on an interview with 60 Minutes that I am hoping you look up, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you might have, where he admits that he worked for the Third Reich. When you look at the Ukraine and Stefan Bandera and Ihor Kolomoisky, all collaborators with the ideology of the Azov Nazis, this is truly a Fourth Reich. The only difference is they're not as bold as they were in the Third Reich, and they're doing it through the back channels, and they were smart this time because they bribed very specific politicians on both sides. And the problem I have is, if they're not as audacious as they were in the Third Reich, can we fight them back when they finally reveal themselves, or will it be too late? Will that agenda of the takeover be too late? And that's kind of where this piece of Odyssey fits in. It doesn't make any sense other than to just keep the people calm as the takeover is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, your question is probably the question of our lifetimes, honestly, and that's kind of the battle that we're in, is to recognize, acknowledge, push back against all of this sort of stuff. But I mean, you're absolutely right, and you can see kind of the agenda of all of this being played out by all of these different organizations that the George Soros, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum web has their fingers in. Most notably in recent history is these kind of extreme DAs and the lengths that they're going to, you know, take out Donald Trump at his knees. So, I mean, that's just one example of probably 1,000 that are currently going on at the same time.
How old is this rotten son of a dog that he is, the devil's cousin, George Soros? Isn't he in his 90s?
You know, I'm going to Google that because I'm
Google
very
how old this red bastard is. In the meantime, we are too old to cry, so let's have a little fun. I will bet you $5 American, that really is only worth two from when I remember it, that Jimmy Carter outlives George Soros. You want a piece of that action, kid?
Well, George Soros is currently at 93 years young.
Oh. Jimmy Carter just had his vasectomy reversed. He's going out on Tinder this weekend. I'll take Carter for $5. You want George Soros?
I'll put my money on George Soros, right. I think. Although he was kind of stuttering and stammering at a recent press thing that he was doing, some conference, and people were thinking that might have been a sign against his health. But I don't know. Clocks like this just keep ticking.
Come on. He's Lucifer's cousin. In the meantime, you are Donald Kendall. Thank you so much for everything at In the Tank podcast on Stopping Socialism TV. I know you're at Heartland, but where do you prefer the people keep an eye on you?
Yeah, heartland.org for sure. You can look at all of our work on there. On YouTube, if you go and look up Stopping Socialism TV, you'll find In the Tank podcast. We do that every week.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you making time.
Thank you for having me on.
We'll be back with your calls and comments.